Yeah, any Bib Fortuna? You got any any Bib Fortunas there?
No Bib Fortuna, unfortunately.
You can stroke the LeCou.
Oh boy, you're really,
you know, getting a little risque at the Star Wars.
Yeah,
touching that LeCou.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. And I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
And we're here bringing you things.
Yeah.
Weren't you supposed to
say... We got like a tenth of a show this week.
Weren't you supposed to say this is episode 229 of the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com?
You mostly just got it out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when they're looking back, when the historians are going through our archives, like, oh, whatever happened to episode 229 of the show?
I totally imagine like a Tomes and Talismans kind of thing where they're like exploring the virtual wasteland. Oh, are you serious?
About?
We've talked about this many times.
Have we?
Yeah, there was this educational show.
Do you guys know that I forget everything we talk about the moment we hang up these mics?
I do. But they're in elementary school. We watched an educational program called Tomes and Talismans that we watched, and it was like a post-apocalyptic sci-fi like multi-part series about the library.
I was in Seminole. I watched real educational stuff
like Voyage of the Mimi. We watched that together.
I watched Muzzy to learn Spanish. Muzzy.
If anything,
watched some Electric Company. That was, listen, some good shit.
That's because you're old, Ash.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, if anything, you should go and look up just the theme song to Tomes and Talismans, because it's like totally like creepy retro. And it's even better because the YouTube clip out there has like, it's taken off of the VHS tape, and the VHS tape has that warble effect during the opening theme song. So it sounds really creepy. It's totally great. Really great.
Have you guys seen this is a total aside. You ready?
Yeah, sure.
Have you guys seen the bad lip reading Yoda Rockin' and Rollin' video?
No.
I have not seen it, no.
You haven't?
Oh, no.
Okay. It is permanently stuck in my head because they play it at work all the time. Like, my whole team thinks it's the greatest thing ever created, and they literally play it constantly, like at full volume. So the next break, when we get to our first break, I will send this video to you guys, and you can watch it.
Excellent.
They're genius. Like, the Walking Dead one with Carl Papa is, like, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Bad lip rings. It's wonderful. The football ones are really good, too. Hey, guess what, guys?
Hey,
what's up?
This week's brought to us by Loot Crate.
That's great.
And the theme for April, which you're almost out of time for, is Quest. I think by the time this one comes out, you'll have like 4 days to sign up for this thing. So sometimes life's little adventures turn into big sweeping epics. We salute these often unexpected journeys with April's theme Quest, Harry Potter, Labyrinth, Vikings, Uncharted 4, and more.
More?
The monthly t-shirt. Yeah, more. That's the end of that sentence.
That's my favorite thing in the box.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost made a different joke.
I know.
I held back.
Yep.
The monthly t-shirt and loot pin is joined by 4 more exclusives this month. So head over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA and buy Ash a burrito. Because I think that's what's happening. Scott and I have no idea where this dark void of money is.
And, I'm eating well, guys.
You get a discount on your Loot Crate, and we get some kickback, and it helps out the podcast. So please head to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and go support 2 awesome things, which is boxes full of nerdy stuff and your favorite podcast, Rated NA.
Yay.
Yes. Oh. You think we're actually someone's favorite podcast?
Yeah. I'd like to think that. Yeah.
I remember when Kate Dollarhides did that to us, and Kate Dollarhides said that to us, and it was the most wonderful thing.
If that's not her rap name already,
Kate Dollarhides. Oh yeah, it's got.
Oh, absolutely needs to be.
Yeah,
let's do the rundown.
Anyways, I think probably the coolest thing that happened this past week was the trailer for the new Rogue One Star Wars film. But there is also some other, it was like a trailer week, right? Gears of War, Titanfall, I think Fantastic Beasts had a trailer. and some Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. And then Ash will talk about the Battleborn beta. And we also have an Aquato this week, which was what frustrates you to no end when playing video games? Let us know. And boy, do you have some responses.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sure do.
So, Matt, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know what I did this week. I played Division with you guys a bunch.
Yeah, that was great. We ran two missions last night.
We did. Yeah, yeah. One of them we even got through, finally.
Know, like a lot of these games, it's like one of those games where the more abilities that you get, the more enjoyable the game becomes, which isn't, you know, too bad.
No, no. It's pretty solid.
Yeah,
it's really true. It's so true with that game.
It is fun. Yeah, I wish you... I mean, well, I don't know. You don't feel super stupid at the beginning, but you definitely... It gets way better at the end.
But they the amount of like explosions and things that we're able to accomplish now, like it just is much more satisfying to see.
I really
that.
Love that if we run into a room as the three of us now, that like basically the 4th of July happens in front of us the moment we enter it, and then and like five guys just go flying all over the room.
Yeah, it's super satisfying.
It's fun. It is satisfying.
Absolutely.
I watched Star Wars 3 times this week.
Did you really?
Nice.
I did. One of them at work.
It's all right. We won't tell. We won't tell anybody.
Oh, I don't care. I was very blatantly open about it. I have a 55-inch 4K TV at work. And
it's necessary.
You're fancy, man.
It. Here's the deal. My boss wanted one
because
he wants to buy one for his house. I didn't know which brand he wanted, so he wanted to try the Vizios out. So this is all true, possibly. So he bought one for himself, but he can't just buy one for himself. He has to get one for the team, like one for each lead on the team, of which I am one. So... since I have an office now, I got a TV for it, and it's this it is ridiculous. Like, it, literally all I have in my office is this 55-inch TV, my desk with my laptop and my cinema screen, and then five chairs so that my team can sit in my office with me.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But so I watched it. One day I put it on in the office, and like I didn't have anything really to do, and I just was feeling like, you know, you have those days, you know.
It's a movie
where you're just like, don't tell me to do anything.
Well, it was pretty... I think, did I post the picture to you guys in Slack of my entire team standing inside of my office watching Star Wars with me?
No, you didn't send us that.
So I started it, I was watching it, and then like Ryan came in and sat down, and then like David came in. Like then all of a sudden like my whole team kind of filters in and sits down and starts watching it. And then my boss is standing in my doorway watching it. Then one of the product guys shows up, and like we're all just standing watching Star Wars in my office.
It's amazing.
So I just played that all day. But I ended up watching it three separate times. I've got all these new... theories on things, although there was a quote this week that we'll talk about during the Rogue One trailer that supposedly breaks all the theories, although I don't think it does.
Okay.
And then I watched a bunch of Daredevil. I'm up to episode 12, so I'm right at the very, very, very end. I got two episodes left. Yeah, it was really hard. You guys don't understand how much I like playing The Division with you, because the only reason I play The Division is that I stop watching Daredevil with Melissa to play Division with you two.
It's not a bad life.
And she gets angry about it, so she hates you guys.
It's all right.
You're doing research. We're doing research for the show.
For the show, yeah,
of course.
If Punisher doesn't get his own series out of this, then I do not understand what life is about.
Yeah, he probably will. I can't see how that won't happen.
He's phenomenal. Like everybody's very good this season. Like they did a really great job on all the storylines, but Punisher John Bernthal is just fantastic in that. He's the first time you've seen him and you're like, oh, well, this was the Punisher all along. Like, everybody else just played these, like, weird faux comic book versions. And, like, Jon Bernthal is the Punisher in this show. It's amazing. So, really, really enjoying that show. And then a bunch of Division. And I started, do you guys know what The Girlfriend Experience is?
Nope.
So
heard of this.
It was a movie by Soderbergh that was mostly boring. And then Stars picked it up and made like a TV show out of it, and it's getting like rave reviews all over the place. So I started it, and it's pretty good. It's got a really like, it's not as weird as Mr. Robot by any means, but it's shot sort of in that vein. It's got a really intriguey vibe to it, like everything going on. You're like, what's gonna happen, kind of thing. So it's done well, but it's about a girl who is like a. Is a high-end escort to get herself through law school, is essentially the storyline.
All right.
He picked such weird projects, Soderbergh.
Well, this isn't him. They literally, like, they just took his movie and were like, put two creative leads on it and made this like gorgeous, brilliant show. But the movie's decent. It's one of his, like, you know, he either does what, Ocean's 11 or that was him, right?
So, some weird art house.
Yeah, like, or art house film. Yeah.
Yeah, filmed on like an iPhone.
And that's
like,
what Girlfriend Experience was. It was like it was like shot like on some kind of like new camera. And start a porn star, you know, as her first like real role.
Oh yeah, that's the one with Sasha. What's her face, right?
Yeah, Sasha Grey, and like that. So like it was decent actually, and she was good in it. Like the whole movie was decent, but it wasn't. It just was kind of boring. Like it didn't really have a point at the end of it. And this one's a little more focused because in the movie she wasn't trying to like attain anything. It was more about her relationships, and this one's okay. Very much about this girl who is like power hungry and wants to become a high-end lawyer and all that. So it's good. It's worth checking out if you've got the old time, which I sometimes do. But beyond that, I don't think I'm really stuffed up today, so I'm sorry. I think I sound like an idiot, but I'll drop all my letters that are plosives or something. So how about Scott? What have you been up to?
Let's see. So obviously we played The Division and I didn't finish Daredevil, but I did finish Fuller House, which I know you're really excited about.
Thank God. Thank God. Yeah. They're was it a twist season ending?
Yeah, totally, man. And, they're getting a season two, so you should be excited about that. I did do some Star Wars stuff. I read a trade called, let's see, it's called Shattered Empire, and it came out in November.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was part of that series of, you know, they called it Journey to Star Wars, The Force mm-hmm. Awakens, so it was part of the comics and novels and everything. And it's pretty cool. It's short, but it tells, it actually tells a story about Poe's parents.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay.
Yeah, and so it takes place after the destruction of the second Death Star and sort of the things that are happening in the new canon, if you will. Post original trilogy. Yeah, so I would recommend that. I just checked it out from the old library and I really enjoyed it. And then the trade also combines the Shattered Empire short series with Princess Leia number one, which is also pretty good too. So I would definitely recommend that. And then I also went to this is also Star Wars relevant. I went to Hollywood Studios yesterday and what? Yeah.
Yesterday was a work day, Scott.
Yeah, it totally was. I took a day off. You know, like when you ask for the day off and you're like, hey.
You don't just watch Star Wars in your office as opposed to taking a day off?
That's correct. I don't have a 55-inch. I don't even have like a 10-inch
television. You should get one.
A TV for my office?
Yeah,
why not? Yeah, that's totally something that we can do. Okay. I would be able to get the TV, but like somehow not be able to bring in the discs for some reason or another. But anyways,
you get an Apple TV. They buy that for you as well. Oh, you hook it totally up to the TV. You connect that to your Plex account and you watch it that way.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I can do with my network at work.
I mean, seems like it. I don't see why not.
But anyways, the thing that is cool now about like Hollywood Studios is that I would say 50% of that park is Star Wars now, which is awesome. Yeah. And they added this new area called the Launch Bay, which is sort of the, I think it's supposed to kind of tide you over before they rebuild the back half of the park, which I think is going to be, end up being, you know, to Star Wars fans what, you know, Universal Studios Harry Potter is to Harry Potter fans, or at least something along those lines. So the Launch Bay is cool. I met Kylo Ren, and even fake Kylo Ren is intimidating when you meet him. So that was pretty cool. So got some photos with him, and that was awesome. And then they also have a bunch of really cool props that you can go look at. So there's like Rey's costume and different lightsabers, weapons, scale models of different vehicles from the films and stuff like that. So it's really awesome.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
it's actually enjoyable there now.
Absolutely. There's like a nice little it's not super huge, but there's like a nice little museum piece, which is cool. They set up some game stations with different Star Wars games. Most of them have Infinity playing on them.
Yeah.
And then there's like sort of like of course there's a new merchandise area. But they have
they let you buy Star Wars stuff?
Yeah, Disney. Yeah, go figure. Oh. That's crazy, right? They have giant 1/6 scale vintage Star Wars figures, but they're like a foot tall, you know.
That's cool.
And different like models. There's like all kinds of merch there now. You can design your own like iPhone cases, but it was really cool The character meet and greets I thought were awesome. I'm usually not into stuff like that, but
They have any Jabbas you can meet?
No, right? Right now it's just Chewbacca and Kylo Ren, but they keep them
crumbs.
It's a not yet, but they have
really Ash is just trying to get to any Twi'leks.
No.
Yeah, any Bib Fortuna? You got any Bib Fortunas there?
No Bib Fortuna, unfortunately.
You can stroke the Laku.
Oh boy. You're really,
you know, getting a little risque at the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Touching that Laku.
I don't know. I mean, they don't have anything. It's a family friendly attraction, you know. But it's cool. It's cool. They keep the characters behind like closed doors, so it's really like a one on one kind of thing.
That's cool.
It's actually really neat. So you know, for the folks that can get down here to see it, it's definitely fun. And for the folks in
call
California,
Scott, he'll take you. He'll be your guide.
Yeah, he'll buy you your passes, everything.
Whoa. Yep.
So just come to Florida.
Tweet at Scott.
I think there's an asterisk at the end of this. At the
you
end
just
of this
tweet
phrase,
Scott,
yeah.
And then he'll buy your passes and take you there and tour you around.
Yeah,
Star
sure.
Wars.
And he'll dress like Bib Fortuna, and you can stroke his Laku.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Sure. Whatever you say, man. Yeah. So that was cool. So if you're in Orlando, come see it. And if you're in California, well, Orlando's still better. And with that,
man, you should listen to Californians argue the two versus each other. They really think Disneyland's better than Disney World. And I don't know how to break it to
them.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's just really not true.
I don't know what to tell you. There's tons of land here and they use it all for fun things. So Ash, what is up?
Man, I'm not going to get into that debate about the Disneys. That's just going to be...
Yeah, I just,
what have you guys done?
I know. I just threw a grenade in the room and closed the door. Yep.
So I haven't been to the Star Wars parks dressed as Bib Fortuna, unlike Scott.
Oh, I've got Bib Fortuna cosplay now?
Yeah.
Man, this would make me so happy if you actually did that.
Why? Why do you want me to be... Of all the characters...
I don't just think it would be hilarious. He's like the absolute best.
Are you sure?
I think he's better. I think he's better than Admiral Ackbar.
You
personally.
Shut your damn mouth.
So what have I been doing? So I've been catching up on Person of Interest, which is now on Netflix. So it's four seasons on there, and I'm enjoying it. It was off to a slow start, you know, I'm about halfway through the series now, and it's gotten really pretty darn well done at this point. So if you're looking for a sort of a procedural tech-based show, I'd say definitely check it out. I think the performances are good. And it's a little, you know, mission of the week. The overall narrative, the overall arc, you know, doesn't really kick in until I would say the second season. So that's something that you have to kind of grit your teeth through. But it's good if you're into that kind of stuff. Other than that, the Battleborn beta started on PS4. Late last week, so they had a week head start on the Xbox One and PC version of the Battleborn beta, and I'll talk a lot about Battleborn when we get to the review section, but it was a big surprise for me. I actually ended up really enjoying the beta, and it was kind of exactly the dose of sort of fun that I needed in gaming at this point. Not to say that The Division isn't fun, but it's you know, it's a very dark.
Yeah, it's got
it's
that
a very
next-gen
dark
filter.
And gritty game.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very, you know, super sterile and just everything serious, and all those fucking tapes you pick up are like people getting caught on fire and screaming and like, you know, I need my back hurts. I got back pain. Like, what is that guy all about? Every time you ever hear encounter him.
Yes, many times.
Yeah, back pain guy. So yeah, so The Division can be a little bit of a downer. So. Other than that, it's just been, you know, busy doing life stuff, getting prepped for the spawn, which is arriving in a week now. So. Yeah. So lots of painting and building and all that fun stuff.
It'll be great.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it for me. Nothing too exciting. Division's been fun. Battleborn's been fun.
Did Scott's laughter there sort of intimidate you in any way a little bit? Or it was like a real weird reaction to you're like just getting prepped, you know, painting. He's like,
he's like, you have no idea what you're in. You will see.
News.
So we have a lot of trailer news this week. It's really fucking riveting, guys. We're going to be talking a lot about trailers.
We're going to stretch into 6 minutes of trailers into 30 minutes of news.
Yeah, no, but these are actually really exciting things. The first is just a chunk of news from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The first just dropped tonight, and that's Natalie Portman and the rest of the humans from the Thor films will not be returning to Thor. So
heard.
Yeah, so no Natalie Portman, no Kat Dennings, which I thought was one of the best parts of the Thor films. I was a Darcy fan. Sorry, guys. I really was.
I think it's going to be no Earth Thor, essentially.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I guess, him and Hulk kind of jumping around different areas, punching people a lot, which is cool. But it's weird, you know, because they were a huge part of the first two Thor films. So having them not be in the future Thor films is going to be a little strange. So no more Natalie Portman, which probably rules out her becoming the next Thor, which is a lot of people were assuming that was going to happen when Chris Hemsworth's contract expired. They're like, oh, they'll just make Natalie Portman Thor. So
I think they've already said that Chris Hemsworth will be in Infinity.
He is, for sure.
Yeah, the directors came out and said that they're, I think it was something like Chris, I think it's, maybe it's not definite, but Chris Pratt and Chris Hemsworth were going to be in the Infinity Wars.
Those movies are going to be fucking insane.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what they're going to be like. Other stuff, they came on record today saying that Defenders is going to be filming in Matt's neighborhood this December. So it looks
I'll just walk around there, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, you should definitely go and, you know, steal some things from the set.
I'll see if I can.
Yeah, it's rob some things.
Down the street. I can do this.
Do it. So yeah, Defenders is filming. I guess Defenders and Iron Fist are filming back to back, and they're both set to air now on Netflix in 2017. So Iron Fist will air probably in Daredevil's March slot, and then Defenders will air later in the year, sort of what they did.
Have they said whether they're going to try to do a third Daredevil season or no?
They haven't announced it yet, but everyone's assuming that, yeah. So they've announced already Jessica Jones season 2 is definitely happening. And then
that means like at some point they're just going to be like a year's worth of Marvel shows happening.
Yeah, it's insane.
When does Most Wanted start? Is that going to happen still?
Yeah, it looks like it's happening. I think it's going to be next. It's going to be filling the Agent Carter slot from what I've heard, because Agent Carter has not gotten picked up yet.
That's a bummer.
So it'll probably be the mid-season sort of filler, the winter filler for S.H.I.E.L.D. next year.
Ah.
So, which is kind of a bummer because I was a big fan of Carter this season. I thought it was great, yeah, especially once you got past the first couple episodes. I thought it was a really, really strong season. So
I had a friend I was talking to about Hunter and Bobby leaving S.H.I.E.L.D. to do their own show. And she was saying that she's less worried about their own show and more worried about S.H.I.E.L.D. without them.
They're really good on
I
the show.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Although last week's S.H.I.E.L.D. was probably one of my favorite episodes the whole season.
Oh,
so
that was very good.
Really, really liked it.
Yeah, very, very good. It was even the cinematography of that episode was like something special. Yeah.
Was last week's the one, the future-y one? Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the director of that was actually Kevin Tancheroen, and he's done a lot of Arrow episodes, a lot of Flash episodes. He's sort of known. He's the guy who directed the Mortal Kombat short film.
Oh, the short film.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he's really great with that, you know, action cinematography. And yeah, I definitely noticed there was a change in the tone of, in the way that it looked. And I was like, oh, this is much more. This is like a really, not to say that the episodes aren't well made, but, you know, last week's was especially well made.
Yeah, it was fantastic for sure.
Yeah, that was good.
And that's pretty much it, unless you guys have any more Marvel Cinematic.
Nope.
News. I don't really have anything else either.
Let's talk about
Star Wars.
It's a good time. It is a really
how
good
many
time.
Times did you guys watch this trailer?
Many times.
I did too.
I only watched it a couple.
I think I watched it 5 times.
It's very good. I do have a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Poe's dad in the trailer? Is that who that is, or does he just look incredibly like Oscar Isaac and wear the same jacket?
I have no idea. His
every single one of us watched it at the office said, is Poe in the movie? We all thought it was him at first. And then we realized, oh no, it's the guy from Diego Luna is who I'm talking about.
Diego Luna.
Yeah, so you guys don't know. He's not Oscar Isaac's dad. He's not Poe's dad.
Yeah, they haven't released his name yet. So we don't know what character he's playing specifically, I don't think, yet. So
no, we don't, yeah.
It's weird to watch these trailers because you don't know who any of these characters are.
Right.
It's like you just watch and you go, well, this is pretty interesting. Like, you know, you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen.
Well, it's so weird because it's, you know, it's this little moment in Star Wars history where, you know, we always kind of heard about this group that steals the plans for the Death Star. And I always wondered, like, what the hell that mission was like. And now we get to see it, which is fantastic. But it looks like we get to see things that have never appeared in Star Wars before. There's like all these new stormtroopers, you know, there's new tech. We get to see Darth Vader again, which is going to be insane. Have you heard he's going to be in it?
He's in the trailer, like from the back, at least they showed him.
Oh, is he? Is that him? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's incredible. I heard Boba Fett might be in this and Slave One might be in this. So it's like, there's all this obviously speculation and stuff about Rogue One, but visually it looked a lot better than I thought it was going to look. It looked gorgeous.
Oh, it looks amazing. I told you guys this in our chat, but the story for this kind of reminds me of the story for Casino Royale, because it's sort of like an origin story. You know, outcast character, kind of rebellious character comes in and they're like, hey, we need to send you on a mission. Like, I literally pulled up an old trailer for an old teaser trailer for Casino Royale. And you can basically interchange the audio and video for those two movies for the first 40 seconds of the trailer, and they line up perfectly. It's incredible.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm totally not surprised.
There's even a moment where there's like a little bit of action, and those two action moments line up perfectly in the trailer. So you can go watch the first 40 seconds from when the green screen starts, you know, for the first like 40 seconds or so, and it's like perfectly in sync. It's really amazing. And I'm excited about it because, you know, it's Star Wars and now it's almost like a covert ops kind of story as well. So I think it'll be interesting. It's amazing just to see other stories in this universe.
Yeah. Again, you know, we live in a time where all this weird stuff's happening and the things we love are really popular. So, you know, it's incredible that we get to see stuff like this. And, you know, if this is something that's successful, which it will be, you know, we're going to be seeing these every few years, which is nuts.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit too about the young Han Solo, which, like, you know, I'm hesitant, right? Like, why do we need to tell those stories? It's kind of what you said too.
Yeah.
Obviously it'll be nice to see it, but you know, like you said, there are so many characters in this universe. Like, why go tell those stories?
Yeah, it's true. And it's tricky too, because it, you know, you have this performance by Harrison Ford through four films now. And now you're going to have somebody else playing that same character at a younger age. So, you know, to a certain degree, they have to act a little bit like Harrison Ford. So it's a very, you know, it's like taking something and trying to remake it. And I don't know, it's going to be hard to capture the same essence of that character, I think. And there's just, you know, like I said, billions and billions of characters and people in the Star Wars universe. So it's like, why do we have to go to young Han Solo? But
so did you guys hear the quote that got blown up from Daisy Ridley about parentage and all that?
No, what's that?
No, I didn't.
So she was being interviewed and somebody asked about whether she thought, what is it, Jyn Erso?
Yes, Jyn Erso.
Is her mom. And she said, I'm not being funny, you guys, but just because Erso's white and got brown hair, it doesn't mean she's my mom.
Ah.
And then she went on to say, which is, this is the quote everybody's blowing up out of the place to mean that they don't think anybody's her parents, but she said, I think the amazing thing about The Force Awakens is that Finn and Rey don't come from anywhere and they find a place. So to me, it's funny that people think it's so important because about her parentage, because I don't really think it is.
Interesting.
So why are people blowing up about that?
Because it's denying all the fan theories about whether her parents are, you know, either Jyn Erso or are, you know, Luke or Han and Leia. Like, everybody's trying to make her parentage out to be a big deal, and she's saying that it's not important.
Well, if you think about it, you know, if it's a J.J. Abrams joint, then it could be one of those things where, like, you never learn who the parents are, and it doesn't matter, you know, because he loves doing stuff like that.
It could be, or it could be a J.J. Abrams joint where he hides information, has actors purposely lie, doesn't give them scripts ahead of time. So that he can play everybody's theories out to the very, 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 very end, so that you're sitting there waiting to find out what it is.
Right. It's more about the journey than the destination, you know, with
his TED Talk. Did you ever listen to his TED Talk?
No.
Yeah, I have. It's really
his TED Talk is amazing. Yeah. He talks, that's basically what he talks about is like the idea of a magician and a director and telling a story and what it's all about. And
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
You know, like, I'm sure he says something to this effect too, but I feel like years from now, we're going to go back and watch The Force Awakens with new knowledge and then go like, oh my God, like it's the answer was there in front of us the whole time. We never saw it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Good but the trailer stuff. Does look good. I'm excited. And I agree with you. I think it's weird to go back to look at older characters and try to apply new theory to them, I guess, or new mythos around them. So
yeah, but it's really exciting just the tempo alone, because we're still like riding the high of Force Awakens, because it just came out, you know, to digital and physical, and then, you know, in just a few short months the actual trailers for Rogue One will start spinning up, and then in December there'll be another movie, and then in April we'll have another disc release, which will be...
Do you guys realize that Disney has set up a world where they will have a Star Wars movie come out in winter, a Marvel movie come out in March, a Pixar movie or an animated movie come out probably in the middle of summer, another Marvel movie come out at the end of summer, and then be back at their Star Wars movie at the end of the year every year?
Yeah.
They're going to have five like billion-dollar films happen a year.
I think what's next? Oh, we've got gaming news.
Gaming news. So
your favorite.
Do you guys...
Yeah, one of my favorite franchises. The teaser... A teaser and some information dropped from Gears of War 4. And obviously, you know, the casting and stuff we talked about a little bit earlier. But we got a little bit of an emotional cinematic trailer that was pre-rendered. Had the new character of JD Phoenix kind of running through the forest, and had, you know, showing Marcus and the yet to be named mother kind of playing with young JD Phoenix. And then it kind of flashes forward to their estate burning, which is something that happened in the first Gears of War when you were Marcus. You went back home and your house was all blown up. So sort of history repeating itself. But they had an event this last week for press. I want to say it was out in California and San Francisco. And I think the embargo lifts on the press opinions on the game just tonight or tomorrow. So we'll be hearing, you know, how this... It comes out, I think, October.
Holy crap,
But the beta is next week. Oh, so the multiplayer beta is next week for Gears of War 4. So we'll obviously be seeing more.
Do some swarm mode?
I'm ready. I'm ready, man. Mm-hmm. That was the best.
Horde mode, right? It's called Horde mode.
Sorry, Horde.
Well, it's funny you said that, because I think the new enemy is called the Swarm. So I thought you were just like... That's what I was saying.
Yeah, like Swarm. Scott, why don't you back off? I've got knowledge.
Yeah. So anyway, Gears of War 4 is looking good. I like the idea that they're just, you know, taking it to the next generation, and everything I've seen about it looks great so far. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that it plays well, and I guess we'll find out in the next couple of days first round of press thinks. Yeah.
The trailer kind of reminded me of the cinematic trailer for Mass Effect 3, you know, with the kid playing in the field.
Yeah.
Right.
That same kind of vibe to it, except the music was different in this Gears trailer.
Yeah, I hate cinematic trailers. I'm just going to be honest. I just think that they're, you know, we're talking about it, so they're doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
But,
be talking about it no matter what it was.
That's true.
I mean, it's Gears 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually, I tend to agree with you, but I really did think that Mass 3 trailer was really good, the way it was put together. Like, if that was the movie, those combat scenes, like, that's what I wanted the game to be, you know?
I
wanted to see more stuff like that. I mean, obviously the game was great in my opinion, but just those images, like where Shepard puts the Omni Blade through the husk and then like shoots it off, like all that stuff was like, that was exciting. So I mean, like, yeah, of course, this, you know, it's just a cinematic trailer and you don't see any gameplay or anything for Gears, but, you know, it's a known quantity. I'm sure it'll be great.
There'll be stuff, you know, coming out in the next couple of weeks, and we'll get to play it in a couple of weeks, so we'll have our opinions.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure-sies.
So
the other trailer that came out.
Go ahead.
Both of us?
Yeah.
On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. The other trailer that came out, Titanfall 2. Now, I felt like an idiot because I was not expecting this trailer at all. But then when I thought about it, I was like, well, of course they're making a Titanfall 2. I don't know what my brain was just like, ooh, Titanfall 2. And then I was like, well, why wouldn't they be? But this was another cinematic sort of like teaser, right?
Yes.
Basically showing a landing pod and then a new Titan walking up with a sword.
What the fuck? I watched it twice. I didn't even catch the sword till the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, a sword. Oh. Yeah. I got really excited.
It was one of those voiceovers, you know, war.
Yeah, of course.
So
I'm in a pod. Let me out.
Yeah. But the other thing that's floating along with this is that the news came out that it's going to come out on PlayStation 4 as well as Xbox One, and that there may be cross-platform play.
That'd be crazy.
Hmm. I'll believe the cross-platform if I actually see it. I don't think that'll happen. But,
I don't either. I'm going to want Respawn to say that out loud before I think it's going to happen time soon, but it's an interesting thought.
I mean,
that would mean Microsoft and Sony communicating with each other.
Yeah. Well, they've both already said they can do cross-platform, that it's available. Microsoft's pushing it.
Yeah.
It would be more realistic to see that it would be Xbox One to Windows 10 if the game were released in the Windows 10 store. You know,
right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's something I can actually see. But.
Yeah,
sure.
Did you guys? I don't know about you, but when I saw the sword, I immediately thought of Optimus Prime.
Oh hell yeah!
Because
you can now wield a giant, or maybe Voltron if that's your jam. But
I mean, I think it's great. It's coming to PS4. I think the more people that play that game, the better. I'm a huge fan of the franchise. Mm-hmm. I think that they learned a lot from the original Titanfall about how to extend the experience and make it, you know, infinitely replayable. I think that was my one qualm, was that there wasn't enough in terms of progression and unlockables and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Customization.
Well, in the quote unquote story mode. Yeah. I was going to say the quote unquote story mode is relatively brief and just kind of almost a tutorial on playing more than anything else. So, yeah, no, I thought it was cool. I think the cross-platform thing, I was just joking about the haters thing. Like, it could or could not happen. It is all internet rumor. There's no actual truth
to it. Of course,
and
if that actually happens, I mean, even now that it's going to be multi-platform, just so many articles about which one has the better frame rate, which one runs it.
Here's a side-by-side screenshot comparison. Look at this JPEG that's, you know, fucking 300 by 300 and make your decision. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, slow news day, right?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, that stuff is so ridiculous.
But either way, at least we got good stuff coming out. Some returning franchises that I think are good.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff in the works. You know, it's sort of we're in this weird little bit of a dry time right now with a lot of stuff. We're sort of on the precipice of, you know, greatness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right,
Quantum Break just came out though, but I haven't had, you know, we've been playing The Division, unfortunately. I mean, not unfortunately, but I just have not had time to play Quantum Break yet. But that seems to be pretty good too.
Yeah, I've heard mixed stuff about Quantum Break, but I've been hearing it's having a lot of problems on PC, like the PC version is close to unplayable, but you're playing it on Xbox.
It seems to happen a lot. Is it just like a what you build for thing, essentially? Or are they just building for console and then porting to PC and then it's just like fucking broke?
I don't know.
They usually outsource to a different team.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's supposed to be cross-platform saves, so if you... And if you pre-ordered, you're supposed to get a key for the Windows 10 version. So you should have both.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that, yeah.
If you pre-order digital, you get the Windows 10. So maybe that's why. I mean, maybe they're just like, here, have the other one. And hopefully it works. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit, or I guess a lot of bit, about Gearbox's Battleborn, which is currently in open beta for PS4. And
I want to know how many times you can say Battleborn beta during this
Battleborn beta.
Yeah.
And it's also going to be in open beta for Xbox One by the time you guys are listening to this, and the beta lasts for about a week. So let me ask you guys this. What do you know about this game? And I'll tell you if you know the right thing or not, because this is a very, very tricky and different sort of game. And I can't say that I've ever played anything like it. So what do you think this game is like?
I know that people were pooping themselves at PAX over it. And that's all I remember.
Yeah, there's a lot of pooping.
I think it's like a MOBA, like gigantic.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like gigantic too.
Okay. So
yeah, what he said.
MOBA-like gigantic. So it does have MOBA-like elements, meaning that there's a variety of different characters. Each one of them plays completely different from one another. So there's characters that play like characters in first-person shooters. There's melee-based characters. There's stealth characters. There's characters that can support other characters by adding shields or health or And it sounds overwhelming just because you're like, oh shit, there's 25 different people to choose from. But the thing that's really spectacular about this is that they're all incredibly polished. And so you're not going to get in one character and be like, oh, this is a terrible experience. Like each one has a very unique gameplay experience. So the character of Oscar Mike plays like a space marine. So he's got a machine gun and a grenade launcher. You can call in airstrikes. And there's a character called Orendi who is a magician, and she can like cast dark magic and, you know, cast these giant pillars of like shadow magic and zip around the map at, you know, at really high speeds. But the thing that I didn't know about Battleborn is that there are big, long story missions that play out like raids from Borderlands or like from giant, you know, maps from Borderlands. So there's a beginning, middle, and an end. There's boss fights. There's objectives along the way. There's things you have to guard and things you have to kill. You know, people you have to escort, things of that nature. And so it's not just, you know, when you think of a MOBA, you think of, okay, well, the objective is always to destroy these particular spots and like escort your minions along the way and defeat the enemy, you know, as you progress. And there is a mode in Battleborn that's like that, but it's, you know, there's a lot of other things going on inside the game too. So, you know, I jumped in, it was funny because I was playing on PS4, which I don't normally do. I'm mainly play on PC and Xbox One. Mm-hmm. But my friend Derek was on, and we actually played through both of the story missions together. And holy shit, was it so much fun. You know, each one took about an hour. You can have up to five.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And the game will scale in difficulty depending on, you know, how many people are in the party. So you can play through the story missions by yourself, and it'll be really challenging because, you know, especially depending on the type of character that you're playing like a healer, could be a big challenge. Mm-hmm. But we played through together, and I was playing as a melee character and he was playing as a ranged character. And, you know, we were able to, you know, communicate and figure out strategies and work on the bosses together. And, you know, it was a really, really satisfying and fun experience that really kind of harkened back to Borderlands 2. Like when you're going through the Borderlands 2 maps, and then you get to the boss and there's the big splash screen. It's like, you know, stinky.
Oh, yeah.
It does the same thing in Battleborn. Oh, cool. So there's a lot of that Borderlands humor. There's a lot of that level of polish from Borderlands 2 exists in this game as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a really pretty game. It's I wouldn't say that it's cel-shaded like the Borderlands series, but it's definitely kind of cartoony visually. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, very fluid, plays really, really well. It has an interesting mechanic with the leveling process. So there's a lot of progression in the game, but it's mainly like skins and taunts and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like how does that work? So, you know, like in Borderlands, you would unlock the skill trees over time. So like, what are you doing in this game in terms of the progression?
Well, each character actually has 10 different levels. So, but the problem is the way the mechanic works is every time you play, those levels go back down to one. So every time you start a map, you'll start at level one, but then it levels very quickly. So let's say you kill like 10 minions or you kill like an enemy, you'll level up very quickly. So you actually spec yourself as you play. Mm-hmm. And the trees aren't really, you know, that in depth. You really basically only get two choices every time you level, but you can really tweak out your character to be, you know, very different depending on how you actually build your tree as you advance. So, you know, after maybe an hour of gameplay in, you know, in one of the story missions, you'll level all the way to 10 and have all your ultimate stuff unlocked and everything. So every time you play, you'll be leveling, which I think is actually pretty neat. So,
I mean, like, I know that is very MOBA-like, but I think that, you know, there is certainly a benefit to that, you know, especially since we've been playing so much Division, because we've been really struggling to all stay at the same level. So I could see a scenario in which we all jump into a game of Battleborn and it doesn't really matter, you know, where you are in the game, because four people, five people can just jump on, run a mission. We're all in the same place, right? Is that the idea? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, that's awesome.
There is a loot system in the game too, that kind of gives you a reason to kind of keep going back and doing these things.
Like what do you mean? Like, are you talking about weapons or skins or?
Well, you actually can get different gear pieces. So the way that it works is every time you're in any kind of match, there's story missions, which are the big, long, hour-long raids. And mm-hmm. I think it's going to ship with 8 of those, with 5 more to come.
Oh,
so you have 8 of those. There's incursions, which are like, it's not the same as incursions in Division, but incursions are you and four other people versus another team of five and armies of monsters that you're sending against each other. Wait, so what? It's like, yeah, it's really cool. So
four
it's
on five?
So five on five, it's five on five. Sorry.
Oh, five on
so
five. Okay.
Five on five. And then each side also has control of different minions that go after the enemy. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. You're trying to take points in the map while, you know, your waves of minions are attacking the enemy. So if you just want to play support and kind of fight minions and don't worry about the actual other enemies, you know, being controlled by players, you can do that and just kind of, you know, hang back and do that. So a lot of variety in that. And there's another mode called Meltdown, which is another kind of PvP mode. There's a capture the flag mode. So there's a lot of different choices and variety in, you know, in what you're getting. It's not just all PvP or all PvE. It's kind of a blend, which is kind of neat.
So what is, I can't follow. Like, what is persistent across your game? Is it like the skins you unlock or those gear pieces? But do the gear pieces, are those cosmetic only or?
No, so the gear pieces are pretty cool. So you get loot chests just like you did in Borderlands and stuff. And, what'll happen is you'll get this big chest of loot, and then you can actually assign that to your character. Now, you can use that during any of the matches, but you have to get basically shards or coins along the way in order to unlock it for that match. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have like a pair of boots that increase your character's speed by like 20%. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't start with actually those on your character's speed.
They're
like in your inventory, and then as you're playing the game, you'll pick up extra shards, and then you can unlock them. You basically pick a loadout, and it can be, you know, increasing melee damage, increasing speed, health regeneration, all that kind of fun stuff. And then you can, of course, you know, equip it as you play through the match. So
that's sort of what the replay value is that you can go in, even if you're using the same character, with different builds, I guess, or different strategies.
Right.
Based on the gear that you have. Okay, that's cool.
Right. And there's also... you know, not like I said, there's a lot going on here, so that's why I actually wrote some shit down for once.
Amazing.
But as you actually level up, you can find really rare things called mutations, and mutations will actually give your character a different spec as you're leveling up. So let's say you get a level 3 mutation. When you hit level 3, instead of having two choices to choose from what ability you get, you'll have three choices to choose from. Those mutations are permanent. Once you unlock those mutations, then you have them forever. And each character, all 25 characters now, I think have like 5 or 6 different mutations.
Oh, so you can't, there is like a little bit of upgrading sort of.
Right. But they're not game breaking. Like for instance, I got one of the first mutations for this character, Oscar Mike. And all it does is instead of like having the bullets do extra damage, the bullets will then slow the enemy. So you can kind of make that decision when you get there. So
yeah, that's cool. But it sounds like there's a lot to explore. Like there's a lot to do, even if you complete sort of quote unquote complete everything.
Right.
There's a reason to go back.
Right.
And play.
And, you know, cool. And I mean the short, even though I've been going along quite a ways here, it's a lot of fun. That's the thing, you know, all these games boil down to is like, are they enjoyable? Do you have a lot of fun when you actually play them? And
yeah, of course.
I found this, you know, even the PvP in this was a ton of fun. It's just weird seeing such a massive level of variety in essentially a first person shooter, you know? Mm-hmm. So you have characters that shoot, you know, and then you have characters that can turn invisible and can summon giant demons, and you're fighting against, you know, and you gotta, I have so much respect for this team because I was telling you this, but all the UIs are different for every character.
Yeah.
And like the way that the characters handle and move is all incredibly different.
Really interested to see that. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's weird to see it perform so well. Like, you know, and having a melee character actually be able to fight against a, you know, a character with a machine gun is just a weird thing in a game. And having it actually work is also really weird. So
that's cool. When does the beta start for Xbox?
I think tonight at midnight.
What?
So by the time this, you can actually preload it now. So it's a monster though. It's like 13 gigs. So get started. But yeah, so you can actually, during the betas, you can unlock all 25 characters. There's different ways to do that. So different challenges to unlock them all. I think it starts with 5 or 6 open. And then as you play through it, you'll unlock them through different things. But I definitely say with friends, this could be an absolute blast playing through the story missions.
And yeah, then, it starts on the 13th, so that'll be
already out. I was pleasantly surprised. I was not expecting it to like it as much as I did, but
cool.
It was really neat. When I unlock a character, I get super excited because I'm like, oh, what the hell is this one going to play like? Mm-hmm. I just unlocked this bird guy that has a bazooka and he can kind of fly, and he flies around with a bazooka and can shoot homing missiles. And
how many do you start with?
I think you start with 5 or 6, and I've unlocked 3 additional characters.
How do you unlock the characters?
So you unlock it just through gameplay. So some of them are unlocked through doing the story missions. Beta ships with 2 story missions. So if you unlock those 2 story missions, each one will give you an additional character.
Is it like random, or is it like if you complete this, you'll get this person?
It's specific, so okay, it's not
cool.
Random.
Cool.
And the rest are done through challenges like kill 200 guys, kill a guy with a sword 20 times. None of it is tied to microtransactions, so there's none of that.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. So. Yeah, that's midnight tonight.
Yeah. So definitely check it out. Battleborn beta, and then it's going to launch for real on, I think, May 3rd. So.
Wow. That's awesome. So great soon.
Cool. Yeah. Glad it was good.
This is Raoul Coley from iZombie, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast.
All right, we are here with our question of the week for episode 229, and we hastily asked you guys, what frustrates you to no end when playing video games? Let us know. And you guys replied with a lot of things that frustrated you.
Yeah, right? Didn't take a lot of time.
So thank you very much for replying. First is from our buddy in Alaska, Robert Framering. And he says, the random players who constantly just kill everyone in non-consensual PvP.
First of all, PvP should always be consensual.
That was a really interesting phrasing for that. But
yeah, it's a weird way to put it. But I get it. Kind of like, you know, when you're just running through a zone or something and people just pop up and murder you for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
It's annoying.
I realize that this is probably counter to everything that they wanted to do in the Division, but would you guys be excited if there was like a PvE only dark zone that you could opt to go into?
It's weird, man. I hate love the dark zone. Like I go all the time just to like get my ass kicked. I don't know what it is. I think it's just because, you know, I grew up being tortured by games like Ultima Online where anyone could kill you up at any time.
It is thrilling. You know,
it is. I think that level of excitement's neat. It's very frustrating when it's frustrating, but when it's fun, like the other morning, before you guys got on, I was running around with this guy and we ended up helping each other. And then we partied up for like 2 hours in there and ended up becoming, you know, Xbox Live friends. And and that's weird because there's, you know, games like that normally doesn't happen, especially where you can be a violent asshole if you want to be. Mm-hmm. But if you run into someone, you end up randomly helping each other. You know, I think that's a pretty cool thing too. So.
Isn't the rest of the world sort of the PvE version of Division?
But the combat in the Dark Zone, even when it is PvE, is just so much better because there's so much more of it. It's aggressive. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's see. Jesse Lamb, Axel99. Hey, Jesse says, bad UI UX where you have no idea what your next objective is and you're stuck wandering around trapped until you do. That I feel like that shouldn't be a thing anymore, but unfortunately it still is.
Oh, it is.
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
I don't think
sure.
we've said this, but she's an artist now for Bandai Namco. So congratulations, Jesse.
That's awesome.
She is well-deserved and has been around for quite a long time. So congratulations.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Andrew Baker at abakerN7 says, people being hyper-competitive in PvP or just out to ruin someone else's experience because they aren't on their level, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Mm.
This is something actually, let's talk about Division more. In the Division now with this latest patch, there's a gear level that appears next to your character's name when you're level 20. And I think that's the worst fucking thing ever.
Wait, like gear of what you're carrying that they can steal or
no, like it tells you, like it tells everyone around you the numerical value of how awesome all your gear is on a number next to your character's name.
So I'm just not going into the dark zone anymore, is what you're saying.
I don't know why it's there. I think it's for this new like raid thing, but I think that that, you know, that...
I mean, I assume it's more for like partnering and stuff, right, than it is...
Right, yeah, but it also lets people see instantly. And,
yeah, whether they can say shit.
Right, and you're not on my level. That sort of mentality also.
So. Yeah. I mean, I knew they were doing that, but I don't get why they display the number on your name. Like, that seems completely unnecessary.
Yeah, no, I think it's unnecessary as well.
I mean, I get the reason, you know, for making sure that you can go into the raids and everything, but, like, you know, like, why not just hand everybody your ruler? It's, like, it's so stupid.
Yep, no, I agree.
Anyways.
All right, Saru says, people who discourage others from playing, games are for everyone, and it makes me sad when elitism alienates folks. And I
agreed.
Completely agree with that as well.
Let's see. Kate Dollar Signs. Says, backseat players are a pain. Do you guys ever encounter this? I usually don't have...
What game was it? I used to encounter it on occasion. Something tactical that if I played without you guys, there would be dudes that were just like, no, what are you doing? You're doing it wrong. Head over here. And they're like trying to tell you everywhere to run while you're running. I can't remember what game it was that I play with the mic so rarely now.
Now that you mention it, that did happen to me one time back in the day on Battlefield 2 on PC. Mm-hmm. I got into a squad where the squad leader took his job very seriously.
Yeah.
And would actually boot people from the squad if you didn't do exactly what he, you know, what you were told to do, like go to this objective, go to that objective, go around the building, you're a fucking moron. Like, it's like, come on, dude, like calm down. Yeah.
Yeah. That's rough.
Rasmus Van Nielsen at Rasmus SVN or Rasmus VN says, recent examples, Quantum Break characters constantly telling you to get going. ROTR. What is that?
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider. Lara's immediate tips for puzzles, also bullet sponges, especially in games where they don't belong.
So this is an example of UI UX telling you too much what to do and where to go.
Yeah. I've been kind of dabbling in Rise of the Tomb Raider, and I haven't really noticed the tips too much, but I've only played a couple hours, so.
Yeah,
mine isn't tips, or mine to piggyback on this one is not so much the tips. It's like confirmations. It's like, hey, you do this, and they're like, sure, and I'm like, yes, I'm sure. Like, okay, you sure? Like, yes, I'm positive. Back out of the damn thing. Like, what are you asking me for? And it feels more common on console than other places, but
yeah. I think I'm up. Chris Jenkins at Cloglip says, escort missions. He's a JTF officer, for God's sake. Why does he need protection? JTF, I don't know, man. I think they need to get a new job. I've rescued so many JTF officers. I don't even know.
Well, if you listen to them, they're not military. They're police, firemen, and medical people who have been pulled into this team. Joint task force. That's why. They're not military guys. These aren't professionals. They're semi-professionals. That sounds weird. I think police and firemen are professionals. But absolutely. You get what I'm saying.
It's a new team. They're working together.
Oh, yeah, they're learning. They're learning the ropes.
I'll gladly read this next one. Jen Jarvis says, collectibles/objectives located in places that seem impossible to reach. Example, some of the shards in Dragon Age Inquisition.
Feathers.
I'll piggyback onto that one and just say collectibles in general, in open world games specifically. How about that?
Yeah.
Because I don't really know what to say. Like, gameplay wise, like as a gamer, it's not very exciting to run around and collect things, right? But at the same time, you're probably thinking about maybe there was some environment designer or artist or something that spent a bunch of time working on this stuff, and they want you to like go look at this and explore, and so the collectibles are a way for you to explore the world, but like on the other hand, like, why not just put a story mission in or another, you know, combat or something? I don't know. I'm kind of like torn on it. Like,
it's weird because some people really love them. They love those aspects of games. I'm I don't really care either way. I normally don't ever do them all unless there's some really awesome reward at the end.
Yes.
I think in like one of the Assassin's Creed's, there was like a really badass suit you could get if you did all of, you know, you collected everything.
But I mean, even so, with the feathers now, like they put that stuff on the map. So it's not even like you have to go find them. Like they're just, it's on the map. You just go to where it says on the map and you get it and you, and then you're on your way, you know? So you're not even like, most of these games show you where they are and they still make you go get them, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Katie or at Katie Lee. I don't know. I can't say her last name. Tethris. We'll go with it. This is like a stream of consciousness one, I think.
These says, are multiple tweets combined together.
Yeah. When games don't have inverted controls on console, you'd be surprised how common that is, especially PAX demos. Also, I mean, sexism? Oh, the bad menus on PC from console ports. Why not make a different menu for PC? Why?
It's so true, though. Like, I for one, I'm lucky because I don't play with inverted controls, but a couple of my friends do, and they run into this all the time.
I used to. A long time
ago. Did you? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only that, I was...
We would make them switch it back all the time on... Was it GoldenEye that you did that on?
Yeah,
all the
time? I was Southpaw and inverted controls. Boy. Yeah, so like when we were switching like Halo 2 controllers, you know, I would have to like flip the controls and flip the controls.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I just learned how to play, you know, default just because.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, it was rough to switch, rough to learn in the first place, but whatever. Yeah, I totally get that. Inverted controls for sure.
I have one on the top of my mind right now because it's Division.
Sure, go for it.
We talked about it last night. It's numbers with no meaning in menus. I know you guys have logic around this, but your health is it's a non-number. It is just, it's an ever-escalating number that means essentially nothing without any relation to anything else around it. Like, it's just, they could just say 40 bazillion and you'd be like, okay, cool, that's high. Like, it means literally nothing. And all of the numbers on the screen for the Division are meaningless. It's like, your guns are 20,000. And you're like, cool, 20,000 what? You're just 20,000. And then the number below it's 400. And you're like, what do these numbers mean with each other? And they're like, they're just cool numbers. Look at them. There's 16 numbers on the screen. They're all really awesome. Your health, your special abilities are 6,000. And you're like, what is this in relation to what? 6,000 what numbers?
I think I'm going to do some math here. This is going to be risky, but I'm going to try it. So right now my health is 24,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my gun is 17,000 per second. So that DPS. Means that I could get shot, damage per second. So I could get shot by the gun that I'm using for a little bit more than 1 second, and I could survive.
But you also have armor, too.
Right.
But I don't know. Yeah, armor. I don't know how much the armor negates.
You have no idea what that does.
That's true. I don't even know where to see my armor.
Right. That's only important.
You're wearing.
Let's be super clear. That's only important if you're shooting yourself in this game. It has no relation to anything else on screen, to anyone else that's running around, or any of the bad guys you're fighting. Because the bad guys, what are they? They're 25. What the fuck does that mean? There's zero relation to 25 to you other than your level is the same, but your level seems to have no relation to your armor / health / gun / skill / tech rating or whatever the hell is going on in the screen. The numbers are just meaningless. They're utterly meaningless, and they just go up forever from what I can tell. And
basically, there's like spreadsheets buried in those menus where you can go figure out what all that stuff means, but you're right. Just the number by itself, like, it doesn't really tell you a whole lot.
Anyways, that's it. That's fine.
I can add something to this since we're talking about numbers right now. I always think it's funny when games have, here's an like currency, for example, which is in some numerical value that clearly just has a bunch of zeros added on for like effect.
Yeah. I'm carrying around 40,000 Dark Zone bucks right now or whatever. Like,
but the money in the Division like is at a realistic level. It's like you get them like 130 at a time or whatever, but there are some games where it's like you picked up $4,000, but like that's the least amount of money you could pick up, so why not just call it $4, you know? Just cut off the zeros, you don't need them. It's like all the weapons can be $300 and not $300,000 because you can't pick up $10 in this game.
And I guess that's what I'm saying with the Division. What's weird about it is that they're not scaling the numbers for you at all in any shape or form. And I guess part of it is that you could end up, well, that's not even true because they scale the bad guys, so as you get bigger,
they get stronger. Enemies
get stronger. And like, what's weird about it is that all they would need to do is like scale that 20,000 number to be whatever you're. They basically just were like, here's a number that's going to expand forever. And it just, I don't know. It's confusing. It's frustrating because I have no idea what armor does at all. I put on armor and the numbers all change and I go, I guess those are good. And then you have an armor number that, like, do you ever see your full armor number? Can you see, like, what your total armor is?
It's probably listed somewhere.
I'm sure it is. I have to explore the menus for another 45
minutes. The guy that built those menus is currently in a coma someplace in a bunker.
That poor guy. That poor guy had some product guy just continually add another menu.
Yeah, I'm sure the UX team had like a field day with this game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all dead now. Justin Banks, Sir Kingsman says, long loading screens and far apart save points.
Ugh. Yeah. Shout out to Dead Space for really fixing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Seamless. That was one of the first that kind of got away from that.
I totally want to go back and play that game. Omar, yes, you can. Omar at Elite Mad Skills says, honestly, the worst thing in a long time has been the douche zone in the Division, just full of a-holes.
Clarified.
Yeah, I put brackets sick in there. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Nate
it's
Hales.
It's yep, like, oh, I was just going to say, it's almost like the Stanford prison experiment. It's like, why do you want to encourage people to do that? It's hard to accept the fact that that's the game. Those are the rules of the game that you can do that, because you really just feel like people are just being mean to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a weird psychological experiment though. Cause it's like we said when they did the beta and it was going to end, and then everybody just started killing each other for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cause it was just like, well, none of the gear matters anymore. And there's no rules. So everybody just started shooting each other for no reason.
Yeah. But now you know what's going to happen when the world ends, you know?
I know. Right. Pretty fun.
Yep.
Nate Hales, whoever that guy is, at nhales80, says, games that do not have a well-functioning jumping mechanic that then require you to expertly jump at certain times.
Oh, that's the absolute worst. Like games that were not built for jumping, and they're like, let's do a jump puzzle. You're like, right? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Absolute worst.
Yes. I totally feel that.
I'll give my answer real quick.
Yes, please
before
do.
I do Michael Cole's. Mine, and I've said this before on the show, because at this point we've said everything.
Oh, wait, can
once.
I guess what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the feel of guns.
Well, no, that's actually, that's gotten better over
that's
the years,
man.
That's
an old Matt
joke. I feel like that is honestly like first 20 episodes at least we talked about that.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
The way the guns feel.
The way the guns feel. No, that's a real thing. But for me, the thing that bugs it, I'm telling you, it's a real thing.
It is.
The thing that bugs me the most about games is the first 2 hours. And I've said that before on the show, but I generally hate it.
But that's the
unless
that's
there's a really good hook, like it is really hard for me to get through the first couple hours of the games because you don't have any abilities, you don't have any skills, you're underpowered. They're trying to handhold, and it's just agonizing. And I'm just like, can we just fast forward to hour 4 where shit starts to get good, and then I'll play from there?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, to me, generally.
Isn't that what was interesting about Fallout 4? Because they were like, here's a mech suit, go.
Yes.
You were like,
no,
what?
I really like that. I really like that because there's little to no guidance. You know, they just kind of threw you into the middle of shit and said go for it.
We talked about that a lot in Borderlands because I think we played that game so many times.
Right.
Where it was like, why can't we just start at like level 20?
Because
you know, we've already completed the tutorial or whatever.
To be fair, we like in table where we could control it, like paper and pencil. When we did D&D, we did. We would skip the first 3 levels almost every time we started a new campaign because we'd be like, "Just roll up a level 4 guy. I don't even want to deal with your level 1 like insignificance in the world. There's no point. Like, just have some
you
stuff."
You tripped on a log and you're dead.
Yeah, like it was ridiculous. It was like all the fights would just be you versus one goblin, and it was just like a pointless realm. But yeah, we would do that there too. So it makes sense. It's like the games that do that seem to give you, it's like shocking almost like Fallout 4 was, where you're like, oh my God, like I'm in this world already and I'm already powerful to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one's from Michael Coles. He says, imbalances in PvP. I feel like there's a lot of division rage happening right now.
I don't feel like as much of them are as specific as mine is though. Like mine is a real secret specific hate. Numbers.
What is it?
Numbers.
Oh, numbers.
I said numbers, yeah.
I thought you were going to add a new one. I was like, oh, man, what?
Oh, my new one is Ash on microphone. No, I don't. Scott, you get to close it.
Oh, sorry. Eric at eChap33 says, collectibles hidden across the map to unnecessarily pad a game out. I'm looking at you, Arkham Knight Riddler.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just
refuse.
To,
just refuse them.
Just to harp on this subject one more time. There just need to be fewer collectibles, and they need to have some relevance to, like, the narrative or the game. You know, something that ties it into the purpose, not just like, hey, there's stuff everywhere, because that's what's the most frustrating part of it.
Or if they could even just be, like, mildly logical in the world at all.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I meant. If it's, like, if you're collecting keys to unlock some door, or you're collecting...
But I mean, like, even if they don't do anything, like, if they're... Like, in Batman, it could have been... I can't come up with a logical...
But, collect. I mean, at least... I mean, you know, the Division has plenty of stuff and too much stuff, but at least you're listening to cell phones. Like, at least there's something to listen to. It's not just...
Yeah,
like,
I guess that's what I mean. Yeah, that is a perfect...
You're not just, like, picking up wallets or something, like, which is pointless. Yeah.
You're tapping into laptops that are open and powered and sitting out on the street somewhere. Yes. You're using Echoes.
Oh, so before we get out of here, we're going to do a quick birthday shout out to our pal Hillary, who's turning 21 today.
Yeah.
Congratulations, legal Hillary. Age. No, for those who've been listening for a really long time, obviously Hillary was on our show for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And now she just started working at Bethesda, which is super exciting.
Yeah, for that too.
Yeah. So she, you know, has her own mech suit, and she's going to go around kill people in the wasteland. But happy birthday to Hillary. And do we have any other shout outs?
I hope you get all the chandeliers.
Chandelier.
We got chandeliers.
Let's do a shout out to the Make It So-So podcast. Tell us about that, Scott.
Oh yeah. So the Make It So-So podcast is actually a friend of mine, Beth, and her fiance and another friend of theirs. And they basically do a Star Trek podcast about the only so-so, the not good episodes of Star Trek.
Nice.
And it's really funny. I don't watch Star Trek, so I really don't understand half of what's going on, but they're really smart and it's humorous. So I would recommend everybody go check out Make It So-So.
Awesome. Do it.
Awesome. Do it.
Yes.
Tell them that we sent you.
Mm-hmm. How about a shout out to Jimmy?
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, our music is by Mr. Jimmy Hinson. So our intro and closing song is by Jimmy Hinson, who you can follow on Twitter, and that's at Big Giant Circles. He's putting out all sorts of great music, so definitely give him a follow.
Yeah.
And you can follow us as well, and that's at Nerd Appropriate on Twitter. Picked up a bunch of new followers in the past month, so thank you guys. If you are a new listener, we really, really appreciate it.
That is awesome.
If you have any questions for us, you can email us directly, and that's Matt, Scott, and Ash at nerdappropriate.com. Or if you have a general question, you can send an email to nerds@nerdappropriate.com. And we have a Facebook page, which is /nerdappropriate on Facebook. YouTube page, which is /nerdappropriate on YouTube. And we will be back next week with all new stuff.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Happening
someplace? No. You hear that?
Yeah. What the fuck? I was like, is it my speakers?
There's an
is
ad
that
playing.
Cool? You don't want me just to play guitar through the whole podcast?
No.
I think it would give it a nice vibe.